answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Donald Trump and Republicans have failed. They failed on the economy. They failed on health care. They're failing on immigration enforcement. They failed to address the challenges of the American people and certainly address them in a way that is consistent with who we are as we celebrate our 250th birthday. And so we have adopted an all hands on deck approach in terms of making sure that it's the American people who are the ones who decide who controls Congress in the aftermath of the November midterm elections, not Donald Trump and his extreme sycophants.
No, you mean like you guys did to get Biden elected and threw Bernie Sanders under the bus, remember? And what you were trying to do the last time around with Trump and what you did do to get Biden in the first time. And that is Hakeem Jeffries. He wanted to be the House Majority Leader. They don't have the numbers, but they're looking to get those numbers come the midterm elections. You, my friend, need to make sure that you and everyone who thinks alike go to the polls for these midterm elections. Do not simply think they're not important. Keep in mind, every member of the House is up for re-election. Every member. They get two-year terms. They get sworn in, and they've got to immediately start raising money for the next time, 2 years away and counting. And, of course, senators get to stay for 6 years. But they do the same thing when they first get in, start working for bringing in more money because I'm going to need another war chest. I've got more time than the state, or rather the House of Representatives, but I'm going to need it. And you begin to see these on the left in particular come up with some of the most lame, ignorant remarks. For Hakeem Jeffries saying, we're going to do what's right for the American people, that Donald Trump has failed on immigration. The hell he has. We've shut the border. I'm going to give you some details on that in a moment. And he's not helping the American people again. American people are off better than they were. And all the fraud that's been exposed, it happened on the Democrats' watch. And we have a study that's been showing the lowest murder rate in major cities in 126 years. And even in blue cities and blue states, even if they are sanctuary cities and states, they're seeing things are getting better. Not completely, because too many out there want to continue to allow illegals to run rampant and for folks to get into the face of ICE in protest. They continue to do it in Minneapolis. Citizens were putting up roadblocks to prevent ICE from going down streets. Here's how that situation has changed. Originally, the one sent up to enforce and bring in the illegals was the Border Patrol Chief, Boykins. I'm not going to say he was doing a bad job, but it did not get the public reception that he wanted nor anyone else wanted. And when you had Renee Good killed and then a male nurse killed by ICE agents, first shooting seemed to have every justification. Second one had a lot of questions about it, still under investigation. But somebody had to be taken out. And the best thing to do was take Boykin off, put Holman in charge of all the ICE operations in the city. And he met immediately with Governor Walz, and he met with Mayor Fry, or Free, whatever the hell he calls himself, and said, we need to work together. And they said they would. And here's the extent as to how that happened. Shortly after Holman is in and draws down thousands of members of ICE and says, we'll take them out of the area as a gesture of good faith. If you guys are going to work with us, if you're law enforcement, we'll work with us. If you have somebody in jail, detain them until we get there. Now, if they are past serving their time, we're not asking you to hold them any longer. But before they're released, let us know so we can be there to pick them up. But some of the citizens decided to find another way to protest back. So they started setting up roadblocks in various neighborhoods. Holman made one call to the police chief of Minneapolis and said, these roadblocks are going to have to come down. I'm going to give you the first opportunity to get them removed. Now, if you watched Holman at any point, he's the kind of guy that go there and kick it all down himself. But he took that approach. And, you know, they came down, and they came down under local authority, which is good. But it's not going to stay quiet for long. We all know it. But I'm going to tell you exactly as to how Hakeem is claiming the Democrats are doing so much better and how they're really not. But first, welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. Here we are on a Friday, finally Friday, the 6th of the month. With Larry Connors, USA, you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, education. And I'm going to remind you of something coming up you probably want to sign up for now. Lincoln Days in Missouri are featuring our own Tim Jones and Chris Arps at the Missouri GOP State Lincoln Days. This is going to be on Springfield, in Springfield, on the 20th of this month. Go to our website, News4STL, and you will find exactly how to register and get tickets early. It's going to be a sold-out event being held from the 20th through the 22nd in Springfield, Missouri, a gathering of like minds, Republicans, conservatives. They may not agree on everything point by point, but it's what you want to hear and be involved in. Because with Larry Connors USA, we're going to give you news, analysis, commentary, and education. And speaking of education, let's go back to Hakeem Jeffries and listen to how he's going to try to tell you the Democrats are doing a much better job than Trump, so he's going to lose the midterms.
We're going to fight hard to tackle the issues that matter, to drive down the high cost of living, fight hard to fix our broken healthcare system, of course. But also at the same period of time, we've got to clean up the corruption that exists in Washington, D.C.
What about Minneapolis?
Congress, with the Supreme Court, and also deal with Donald Trump and his administration, who spend all of their time, it seems like, trying to enrich themselves, their family, and their friends.
Joe Biden.
As opposed to focusing on doing their job to make life better for the American people. We will hold the Trump administration accountable in a manner consistent with what the House should be all about, a check and balance on an out-of-control administration.
But you did not do that with Joe Biden. And you knew that Hunter Biden was doing illicit deals and trading on the family name. And Joe Biden has not been directly tied to money given to him. But if it smells a certain way, I'll guarantee you there is some there. You just need to figure out where it started. But there was Hakeem Jeffries saying, we're going to fight hard to tackle the issues of high cost of living. You've not been doing that. We're going to fight hard to fix our broken healthcare system. You're not doing that. We're going to clean up the corruption in D.C., you're not doing that, and you darn sure aren't doing it in Minneapolis or other states where taxpayer dollars are being stolen through fraud. You're not doing a damn thing about it. And I want those going to the polls in midterm to remember that. Don't forget it. Don't buy these stories. I want to take you back to a time when a current hardcore leftist actually was expressing some common sense, yes, common sense ideas. And he was sold on them. At one time, he had actually been a Republican. Now he was working with MSNBC and still had a conservative streak until they either beat it out of him or paid him enough money to forget it. I'm talking about Joe Scarborough on illegal immigration in 2003.
Tonight on Scarborough Country, a bill approved by the state of California giving illegal immigrants driver's licenses. Is this a desperate move by Democrats to keep Gray Davis in office at the expense of national security? Tonight, we look at the left coast's most endangered politician, Governor Gray Davis, and his Democratic Party's latest attempts to show illegal aliens that crime pays. The Democratic legislature has actually passed a bill out of committee that allows illegal immigrants to get a California's driver's license. That's right. Mm-hmm. And by giving these criminals the most accepted form of identification in America, the California Democrats buy votes for themselves, and it looks like, to me at least, that political gamemanship is trumping national security. Yep. As illegal immigrants are given a free pass, this plan seems to me to legitimize illegal immigration once and for all. And it's dangerous, and it owes more to winning votes for politicians than keeping our country safe from future terror attacks. It's frightening, folks. Aren't we sending a message to illegal immigrants? Break our laws, come into our country, flood over the borders, and we're going to reward you by giving you a driver's license.
Yeah.
You're breaking the law.
Yeah.
It's that simple. If you break the law, you shouldn't get a driver's license. You shouldn't be in our country.
I'm telling you, that's not AI produced. That is Joe Scarborough on his program he had on MSNBC in 2003. Joe had been a former member of the Republican Party out of Florida's 1st District from 95 to 2001. And then once he got to MSNBC, he began to continue to try to hold to his conservative, legitimate values. But somewhere along the line, the money, the lure of the money, or threats got him to switch. You were not hearing him in 2003 saying, yeah, it's good to give, quote, voter IDs, which the poor can't get anyway, but we're going to give them a voter ID through a license, and we're going to let them run over our country. He recognized it for what it was, common sense. Then you heard earlier Hakeem talking about how the Dems are doing so much better than Trump has been doing. Looking at the success of ICE, the success of Trump. Contrary to what Hakeem said, I've got some examples. And let's start with Homeland Security Director Kristi Noem.
About last year of the Biden administration, over 125,000 children just in that year were trafficked across the border. And by securing that border this last year, zero children have been trafficked in the last 12 months because of President Trump's leadership. And that's what we're going to continue to bring. You've heard about all these children that we found and returned. We actually have countries that are asking for their children back. The president of Guatemala wanted their children back that had been trafficked in our country, and we tried to facilitate that, and an activist judge stopped us from giving those children back to their families. So we're going to continue to work no matter what these left violent protesters are doing to stop law enforcement and to put people's lives in jeopardy.
Do you hear any liberal whatsoever saying that's a good thing that we stopped these kids and then we found them and got them away from the sex dens wherever they were being held? And we're trying to send them back to their parents. No liberal is coming forward and saying, that's a good idea. Because it is not a narrative that fits what they want. And then you get into what's happened at the border since Trump has come into place. Again, Kristi Noem.
Under the leadership of President Donald Trump, he first secured the border, which absolutely cut down on the flow and in the child trafficking economy. And so that was the first critical move. And their next critical step was to put new leadership at the Office of Refugee Resettlement, which is part of HHS, which is where the children were being trafficked from, the Office of Refugee Resettlement. So they put some great, intelligent folks there. John Fabricatori, who is a senior advisor, also acting director Salazar, and their collaboration now with ORR, so the Office of Refugee Resettlement, the FBI, and DHS, they've been able to go out, do a concerted effort, door knocking, finding these children. It's wonderful news.
It is. But again, no Democrat is coming forward praising that, applauding it, and saying this is good for the children. No, what you have Hakeem Jeffries saying, we're going to fix the illegal immigration. Trump is responsible for what we have in our country now, and he's not doing a good job. Ignoring the numbers you just heard, and ignoring the fact that most came in under the Joe Biden administration open border policy. Thank you, Joe Biden. And then if you think ICE agents, there are so few of them already, and they're trying to get more. They're not loved by many in our nation. Certainly not those who are in favor of illegals running rampant with crime, sex, crimes, killing, whatever. Christine Noem says, we are being flooded with folks who want to be part of saving our country.
They're doing great. In fact, just at ICE, we had over 220,000 applications for 10,000 openings. At USCIS, we've had tens of thousands of applications. Secret Service applications have more than doubled. We've got people in every department that are asking to come and work for the Department of Homeland Security because they recognize that we want to defend the homeland, that a country with no borders is no country at all, that people who live here and our citizens deserve safety on their streets, and that we deliver a response of protection of our critical infrastructure and relief to states when they face disasters through FEMA as well. It's a vast department with a lot of responsibilities, 23 different agencies, all tasked with keeping people safe, and that's exactly what President Trump is doing.
Yeah, Trump's doing all of that. It was not happening under Joe Biden. You know that. We all do. And the Democrats know it. So they got to do a little blowing of smoke and whatever else they can to distract, deflect. Do not let them get away with such a poor effort of a magic trick. Coming up, a threat from a Georgia politician made against anyone who votes for Trump in the past or in the future. But first, the school voucher programs. One state just opened them up. What do you think happened when parents suddenly had this ability? It's coming up. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Great news from my sponsor, Tom Shaw Realtors, proving if you want to buy, sell homes, farms, acreage, you want Tom Shaw. In 2025, selling more than 100 properties, $52 million in sales. ShawRealtors.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation, if they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. $20 2026, a great time to visit Lit Cigar Lounge. The Lit Cigar Facebook has numerous events from tastings to music. My main reason for going to Lit is always quality cigars, premium whiskeys. Odds are we'll see each other at Lit Cigar Lounge. A few doors down, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Get a pizza baked over coals. Excellent crust and flavor. Or choose one of the many great pasta dishes. You won't leave hungry. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta and Lit Cigar Lounge in the Chesterfield Valley.
This is News Talk STL.
She wants to dance like Uma Thurman, bury me till I confess. She wants to dance like Uma Thurman, and I can't get you out of my head.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So we left you with a question. What happens when a state decides we're going to open up and give school vouchers so parents can decide where their child goes to school, not simply because of the district they live in? Texas just did that. And joining us to break it down in great detail, I'm glad to have him with us. We've had him on before. And in fact, I know he's on a tight schedule, so we're going to try to follow your time frame. And Jonathan Butcher, I want to point out also your new book, that's been out for a while. This is the latest one, The Polarization Myth, America's Surprising Consensus on Race, Schools, and Sex. Jonathan, first of all, welcome aboard.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
So Texas, on their first day of open applications, 20,000 students' names were submitted for a school voucher. What's that say?
Well, for those who are unfamiliar, last year, Texas adopted an education savings account program. And this is a broad school choice program that allows children across the state to apply. And according to the comptroller, as of the end of the day yesterday, they had 42,000 students who applied, which is very exciting. And this was, you know, for those interested, whether it's just serving wealthy students or low-income students, a third of the students, more than a third, had incomes below 200% of the federal poverty line.
Wow.
So this is a program that is really targeting kids who need better options, right, than an assigned school.
I mean, we want our kids to be educated. If they're in a poor school system, one, the school system needs to be overhauled. But if not, find a way to get those kids to a better education.
Without question. And look, I saw numbers earlier that about 600 schools have opted in to participate. So, you know, this is a great match, right, when you have numbers this high of applications and you have providers who are ready to participate, too. So, look, the last year, Tennessee had 33,000 students apply, which means Texas has set the record. This is the most we've ever had in terms of student applications on the first day of a school choice program. So very exciting for what's happening in Texas.
There are the objectors. One say that the income cap of $165,000 is too high, so children with lower earning families will not benefit. Now, that's contrary to what you were telling me.
Well, we've got 34% from household incomes below 200% of the poverty line, 38%.
Hey, what's that number, by the way? What's that number, that 200%?
Yeah, great question. So $66,000 for a family of four. That's okay. 200% of the federal poverty line. And then 38% were between 200% and 500% of the federal poverty line, which is $165,000 for a family of four. But, I mean, look, anyone who's going to criticize a program and say, you know, well, this is I would agree that it's not enough, right? I mean, any cap on a program like this that limits student options is certainly going to leave some students out. So the best thing that lawmakers can do is open the cap and really allow every child who applies and is eligible the chance to participate.
Well, you have Dallas Democrat State Representative, Senator, I should say, Royce West said, I don't have a problem with private education. I had a couple of kids who went to private school, but we paid for it. But now it's here. We got to make sure this is implemented in a way that should it be fair to every person in the state of Texas. What is not fair based on what you're telling me?
Well, he's leaving out that you would pay twice. You would pay for private school tuition as well as your property taxes and state taxes. And that makes up most of public school spending in just about every state. So we shouldn't have to pay twice. We should only have to pay once. The money should follow the child to their school of choice. Sure. I mean, the spending for this program should come from the state funding formula, which means that when a child leaves an assigned public school, that they're attending a private school using the money that was apportioned to them, that was set aside for them. That's the way it should work. You shouldn't have to pay twice.
Now, what qualifies a child to make the change? I mean, so you want your child to go to another school, maybe a better athletic program, a better science technology program, or just a better environment?
Well, most surveys find that among the top reasons that parents choose a new school is safety. Parents are very concerned about schools that are not protecting children from violent incidents. So that could include bullying. That could include threats of an active shooter on campus. It could be a school that's had something like that. Look, Uvalde is probably still on the minds of parents across Texas. And so it's something that parents care very deeply about. But parents also want schools that match their values and match their deepest held beliefs. And when public schools are adopting, you know, material that teaches you can be born in the wrong body, or that, quote, social justice or anti-racism is an important, you know, is the defining feature of American life, that doesn't line up with most Americans' views. Those are actually fringe views, as I saw in my survey for my book, The Polarization Myth. We don't like the idea, as Americans, of racial preferences. And so I think that these values are very important, just like school safety.
I'm glad we got into that. And I know you're on a schedule. I don't want to keep you longer than what we appreciate your time. But there are a couple more questions I have along this line. Do you have a moment for them?
Sure, of course.
Right. So let's deal with these schools. What if the school they're sending their kids to is all into wokeness and teaching transgender ideology and everything?
Yeah, I mean, this is what has been causing parents to either speak out more at school board meetings, as we've heard over recent years, where parents were called by the Biden administration. They were likened to terrorists, right, if they went to a school board meeting to express their opinions. But it was because of these radical ideas that are coming into classrooms. It's coming from teacher unions who are supporting this kind of instruction. They promote radical gender ideology. They promote radical racial positions. They post, you know, lesson plans for teachers on their website, or they talk about these things in their newsletters. Unions are a driving political force behind some of these radical things that have made their
And we know
school.
We have some good teachers within those unions that are having to pay dues. They may not want to go along with it. So they're not all bad, but they're kind of thrown in with it. But they point that out, that you're destroying our public school system.
That's right. I mean, look, we trust teachers to take care of our children. We trust them to teach this our kids. And the union's national offices, they're the ones driving these radical ideologies in most cases, right? I mean, some of the local chapters will push it as well. But I think when you see the NEA or the AFT central offices in D.C., they are not always representing the working conditions of their members. In fact, if you look at their budgets, they only spend about 10 to 15%, according to reports, on actual working conditions for their members. The rest of the money is a flow through to other ideological groups, or to the supporting of left of center candidates. Unions, teacher unions, are not focused on the working conditions of their members.
All right, one final question. Again, I'm trying not to overstep our bounds with you on your limitations. But if the kid is not doing any better in that new school, they don't necessarily get to go back the following year.
Well, in the school that they chose, I mean, they can, sure, they can change their mind and go back to the traditional system, or they could find a charter school, a public charter school. I mean, that's, you know, that's the beauty of school choice, right, is that you can move from one school to another once you determine how successful a student is succeeding. We see this in other states that have had school choice for many years. Parents, sure, you're allowed to change your mind. Now, they should be responsible with it, right? And it shouldn't be a matter of changing schools every few weeks. But I think that parents know that it is not healthy for a child to go from one school to another, you know, every 4 to 6 weeks. And I think that what we should be focused on is kids first, right? And what is best for the child.
Jonathan Butcher, author of the book, The Polarization Myth, America's Surprising Consensus on Race, Schools, and Sex. Jonathan, thank you. I appreciate
it.
All right, you bet. Would have liked to have more time with him, but I had been told he was under a deadline, probably someone else waiting to interview him, and I don't like cutting into another reporter's time, so I do appreciate the time we did have with him. These accounts in Texas, the way they're going to work, much like they're doing in some of the other states, an application for the parents to fill out, and there's a guide to show them how to do it, a video as well. They're going to have to provide Social Security numbers, IDs, tax forms, and then when they apply for help, the program allows parents to remove their students from public school and enroll them in private school using state-funded savings accounts. And in the first year, the TEF program, as it's called, is capped at $1 billion set aside for that. But that would accommodate up to 90,000 students. It could grow to nearly $4.5 billion by 2030. And again, the qualifications depend upon the parent's income and the child and the conditions they're in. Every pre-individual program and pre-K student is eligible for up to $30,000 annually from the state. Where do you want it spent? In a school district that is failing your kids, or one where they would really, truly benefit for now and down the road? Coming up, a threat by a Georgia State Democrat, and also the impact of Don Lemon's thug group going into a church.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Previously, I've told you about dustless blasting, a special service offered by Wellington Environmental. It could work for you in your place. Recently, a crew removed a driveway sealer that had failed. The owner wanted to go back to the original concrete so it could be properly sealed. Dustless blasting worked. That homeowner is happy. Now, sometimes surfaces need pressure washing instead of blasting. In fact, there was an exterior stone fireplace cleansed by pressure washing. And when it dried, all the dark stain was gone. That stone had its original appearance. Wellington is versatile with blasting. Dustless blasting or whatever you need. They will evaluate and make a decision. How do you get them to your door? Very easy. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, making your world great. In fact, be safe, be well with Wellington Environmental. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck, my advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I think the idea of making a deal with Iran when they're at the weakest point they've ever been in their 45-plus year history, politically, economically, and militarily, and this was all done with a combination of the strike that the Israelis and the United States made on Iran, certainly, and also you can see how frustrated the people are and the act of desperation that the Iranians demonstrated by mowing down these people by the thousands to preserve this regime is extraordinary in and of itself. That was of historic proportions. Yes, I think negotiating with Iran and making the deal throws them a lifeline and extends the regime. They're going to want sanction relief, certainly condition-based. And what are we doing? We're going to have this regime around for another 10 years? The historic opportunity in front of us is we can take this regime down by a combined attack of Israel and the United States, comprehensive, done, much bigger than what took place during the 12-day war, and put this regime on the pathway to collapse and destruction.
That is retired four-star general Jack King, a Fox News military analyst. And he's making it clear these talks that are underway, we need to make sure we keep the upper hand. And we cannot just be led down the road. Let's just go a little farther and a little farther, because the other side is not going to be giving. But there are some developments coming out that suggest things are maybe doing a little bit better. I'm looking at one report here. This says that the countries did agree to continue discussions after already holding high-stakes indirect talks in Oman. So the Iranian foreign minister calls this a good start. I don't know if I would call it a good start. I don't have all the details of it. But if we're talking and we're not shooting at each other, that's part of it anyway. Iranian media is reporting that these talks that are underway follow an IDF evacuation warning because, yes, even though there's supposed to be a ceasefire situation, we have apparently had some shots fired inside the northern part of Gaza City. The IDF says the strikes were a response to a ceasefire violation from yesterday. The shots were fired toward Israeli troops near the yellow line in the northern Gaza City. I have no doubt that probably happened. So the IDF says, as part of our strikes, make that revenge strikes, and that's fine by me. Said a structure used by Hamas to manufacture weapons and a weapons storage facility were struck. They were conducted in accordance with international law, adherence to the principles of targeting, distinction, proportionally, the implementation of feasible precautions, including advance warnings. Sending word out, we're going to be hitting this. Civilians should leave the area. If you recall, Iran did the same thing when it started going into Gaza and hitting, starting in the south and moving toward the north. But Hamas terrorists did not want the Israeli, I should say the Iranian citizens to be free of any danger. They wanted them there for the collateral damage to blame on Israeli forces. I mean, think common sense. You and your family are in your home, and you get a call and say, we're going to blow up your house. I'm giving you advance warning. We will let every member of your house leave except for you. Well, you won't want to stay, but you're not going to keep your family there. Let them go. These talks are going to drag out, no doubt about it. I don't know that we'll see anything major over the weekend. We'll be kind of watching it, of course, and bringing you up to speed once we come back Monday. We do know that Iran did seize a couple of ships near its borders, oil tankers. They want to make sure they got the oil and it went for their use, not someone else. I'm looking at this latest response. Also, Iran is insisting it has a right to enrich uranium. That's according to Reuters news service. If they are insisting that, and that's one of the contentious points on the table, I don't see that being resolved overnight, because that's the whole idea. You're not going to be allowed to have a nuclear weapon, period. But if they're insisting, well, we've got to be able to enrich uranium for civilian needs and help our people get out of the Stone Age. We have not seen a lot of protest in the streets lately. It doesn't mean the folks are not fomenting and upset over it. It just possibly means they're going to back off and see if these talks will bring an end without more bloodshed. And they also know that the Iranian Revolutionary Guard will continue to mow them down in the streets. The number of dead killed by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard to protect the Ayatollah, the numbers are north of 30,000. 30,000. They don't care about wasting their own people. Well, of course, the other day, Don Lemon Fruitcake finally got charged for his part in the thugs that went into that church to interrupt it. And they were doing it on the basis, the fact that they were saying, well, you're not doing things correct here because you have a pastor who is also employed by ICE. So therefore, we have every right to come in and interrupt your prayer service. No, you don't. And Don Lemon was making a claim, well, I have First Amendment rights as a journalist. First of all, you'd have to prove to me you are a journalist, which you're not. But I will stand with you on your First Amendment rights, but when you're actively taking part in planning the assault, feeding them, giving them water, care, whatever, then going in with them so you can showcase yourself, no, that doesn't qualify as a journalist. But there's been a response to that. And we all know it was not a good deal. But I want you to hear from Tyler O'Neill of the Daily Signal. He's explaining the seriousness of that invasion of that church in St. Paul and the impact it's had.
We've heard over and over again that this is peaceful protest. This was not peaceful protest. Make no mistake, this was an atrocity. This is on the level of almost terrorism, where you had these people who were separated from their children, families who sought, you know, parents who sought to go get their children in the midst of this chaos were blocked from accessing their children. There are concerns there about something not far away from kidnapping involved there. Also, you know, essentially imprisonment, where you have these protesters chanting loudly so that and blocking the exits. So a lot of people in the front of the sanctuary were prevented from exiting. This is yet another example of what those people went through. They chanted a very telling one, which is, "Who shut this down? We shut this down." They're bragging about shutting down a church service.
That's exactly what they were bragging about. So they weren't bragging about First Amendment rights of freedom of the press, nor were they supporting the First Amendment right of freedom of religion. They didn't like the fact that a member of the church, a pastor, was also working for ICE. He wasn't even in the church that day. That didn't make any difference. In fact, it probably, they might have been told before they went in he wasn't there, but they thought, we're not going to pass this opportunity up. We're going to use it, which they did. I mentioned earlier, there's a Georgia state politician. She's running for the state house in Georgia. Susanna Karatosis. And she says, if you are a MAGA supporter, if you're a Trump supporter, you're a conservative, maybe even a libertarian, we're going to make sure you lose all your freedoms.
When this is all over and Trump is gone and Democrats are back in charge and we're rebuilding everything, the punishment for MAGA for voting Trump three times needs to be that they lose their internet access for 4 years.
Really?
That they cannot post videos or comments on social media for four straight years, so that none of us are subjected to their lies and misinformation. While we are rebuilding the chaos that they caused, the whole world and America gets to be without their BS online for four straight years. Can we all agree to this?
No, we can't all agree to this. What a valley-sounding girl. What we're going to do to you, you're not going to be able to use your access for 4 years. You're not going to be allowed to do this. And we don't think you should be allowed to do that either, you know. I have not heard a single Democrat come out and condemn that as a most stupid remark to ever come from someone inside their party. Why not? You know why not. And you also know what would happen if someone running as a Republican candidate for a state legislature said, we're going to find everybody who voted for Joe Biden last time and we're going to shut off their internet. I'd be the first to stand up in their defense. And I think many of you would. Something happened today out of the White House which was concerning. There was what appeared to be, and I would agree it would appear that way, a racist video depicting the Obamas as apes. In fact, it got rebuked even from the Senate's only black Republican, Tim Scott. He called it the most racist thing I've seen from this White House. That's Tim Scott calling that out. Look, if we're going to call out what the other is doing wrong, then we need to call it out when we see that we've done something wrong. It's been kind of layered over, so it's harder to tell exactly who authorized that, if it was actually on Truth Social or something else, and how many people have access to posting on Truth Social. We know Trump does, but I'm sure sometimes he delegates or lets others. But it pictured Obama, Barack, and Michelle, and made it appear as if they were apes. You cannot do that. And Tim Scott, I agree with you. It's outrageous. Now, the storyline that quickly followed was, oh, no, no, it was all part of a scheme that we were showing as memes that Trump was being the Lion King from the movie, the stage play. He was the Lion King, and they were characters. And you made them monkeys or apes, black people. I'd go along with what Senator John Kennedy sometimes says, and we air his remarks often because they're gold, they're basic gold for us, where he'll say something like, somebody in that control room is out of control. I would agree. I would agree in this case. No way in hell should that have been released through any official channel of the White House, President Trump's social account, or whatever, whoever put it up. And I will tell you this, if Trump is responsible for it, I'm calling him out on it. And anyone else, it needs to be addressed, it needs to be forthcoming as to who did it, why, and an apology, a full-scale apology. Not just doing a little, oh, my bad, like the left does. Not going to stand for it. We must have higher standards. It's the only way you're going to get the others to maybe lift their standards. As always, I thank you for listening throughout the week. I'm glad you're loving the story behind the story we're presenting now. Monday story behind the story, atheist Madeline Murray O'Hare. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.